Good morning. It is 5:10. That's the matter with me. I should be like you. Happy. It's Friday. Looking forward to the beginning of the weekend. But here's how messed up I am. And this is my problem. I cannot stay in the moment. What I'm thinking about this morning is I'm already ahead to the Super Bowl Sunday, and it's Sunday night, and now the game is going on, and I'm thinking about, I got to get up early, I got to get to bed. Is there a therapist listening? Can a psychiatrist help me? This is exactly what you're not supposed to do, right?
Don't worry. The Super Bowl is going to be over by 9:30.
10.
But isn't it sad that I can't be in the moment?
I think you have Eeioreitis.
What?
Yeah, what's that? That's what I'm going to call it. You know, Eeioore, donkey from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, Eeioore.
You sound like, oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
Eeioore.
But
Eeioore's the cutest.
You know, I don't know about everybody else, but I think this is the way we all deal with this. There are just some occasions that you just have to plan on staying up for and not sleeping at all. And then you just sort of make it up the next day.
Sleep is so overrated. Just don't even.
Yeah, but you should be at this time. You should be just thinking, "Oh, this is going to be great." After I get home from work, it's Friday night, and got the whole weekend ahead of me. But I've already fast forwarded
to Sunday
the end.
Night.
Yeah,
well,
I need help. This is a cry for help.
Don't you have some fun plans for the weekend before Sunday?
Yeah, but I'm not thinking about those.
Well, start thinking about those.
I've skipped over all of
happy
that.
Thoughts.
Maybe you could bank a couple of naps today and tomorrow.
Stop that's with not, the naps.
It's not going to help.
Pre-sleep.
It's not going to help.
You could do what Nick does.
Nick DiGilio?
Nick DiGilio, after the Oscars, he takes the next day off.
Well,
there you go.
But then you're not here to talk about the Super Bowl on Monday.
No, but that wouldn't bother me. But this is how insane I am. This is how neurotic I am. If I did that, let's say I got Monday off.
Yes.
I would be thinking about Monday night now.
Okay, well,
I have to go to work Tuesday morning.
A problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
You have an issue.
Happy birthday to Vivian in the control room.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Vivian.
There's two people that do all the work here. I basically do nothing. I come in here and complain, and then I go home. But Vivian and Joe the engineer I call him, but Vivian and Joe are both producing the show. They do all the heavy lifting, and this is Vivian's birthday. Happy birthday, Vivian. You can let people hear you. You can press the button.
You.
And you got balloons in there, and
I got everything in here.
Bagels.
Donuts.
Donuts.
Could barely get to the microphone.
So during the show, Viv and Joe are in the control room, and so Joe got balloons and a card and refreshments and
He's
stuff.
So thoughtful.
And then, of course, you know, I walk in with nothing. The way to show me up, Joe. Nice job.
No problem, buddy.
He's probably going to give you the receipt after the show.
It was no chance encounter. Alligator Rob reveals the secret tool he used to capture Chance the Snapper last summer in Humboldt Park. Monday on WGN TV News at 9.
5:19, let's check in with Judy Wang, WGN TV News. She's working on the coronavirus story this morning. How you doing, Judy?
Hey, good morning. We're here at O'Hare doing a story about this new State Department travel alert that came down. It's classifying this a red alert, which is the department's highest level. And what it is it's a warning against all travel to China, not just to the city of Wuhan, which is the epicenter of the outbreak. There are now 6 cases in the U.S., and the latest one is the husband of the Chicago woman who was diagnosed last week. The CDC confirmation came just before the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus outbreak a public health emergency. The State Department says these travel restrictions could take effect with little or no advance notice. Now, a lot of airlines have already suspended or cut the number of flights to and from China. I did notice that there are a few flights going from O'Hare to China, to Shanghai and Beijing later today. The government alert and the WHO declaration follow a surge in the number of cases around the world. The virus is blamed for 213 deaths and more than 9,700 people are infected, and that's just in China alone. The virus has now surfaced in 19 countries. Regarding the Chicago patient, the second Chicago patient is stable. He did not recently travel with his wife to Wuhan. Both of them are in their 60s, and they are in isolation at St. Alexis Medical Center in Hoffman Estates. Illinois and city health officials are stressing that the risk here remains low. They said they have been in communications daily with the people who have had contact with this husband and wife. They say, like his wife, this man did not take mass transit and did not attend any large gatherings. And it sounds like they're anticipating, they're not going to be surprised if these cases go up, because they also report that there are 21 people in Illinois they are monitoring. They classify them as persons under investigation.
You know, I read that the officials here were quick to say the risk of the virus spreading more widely remains low. But then you see the numbers rising so quickly. Death toll in China, 213 or whatever it is now. And it's hard to think, well, we're not worried here. It's troubling.
Yeah. And the cases, I think in the last week, have increased tenfold. So, you know, I think that they know that this is something, you know, people are Googling and they're very concerned about, but I think they don't want to, you know, have a public panic here.
Yeah, and Googling, there's so much misinformation on the internet. That is another problem, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, and even, I don't know if you've heard this, but a lot of people, for some reason, you know, they've been thinking that maybe connected to Corona beer, and that's been one of the biggest things Googled, you know, speaking of misinformation.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's come up, and you know, that's what they said. It's been one of the most Googled things in the last week.
Well, there you have it. The latest on everything coronavirus-related from WGN-TV News and Judy Wang at O'Hare today. Judy, you have a good day. Thanks for the update.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
523, Bob Surratt with you, 312-981-7200. First caller on the radio, as always, will get a prize. Dave Ennett back with us this morning. So, Dave, when you work the basketball games at night, is it then fun because you get to stay up late, or is the turnaround really get to you?
Well, let's see. How do I put this? So, Tuesday was traveled, so by the time fly over to Lansing, which is a short flight, granted, get to the hotel. Now, remember, I've been up since 3:20 in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah, that's so, right. That's a problem.
So now it's late at night. And then after the game the other night, there were mechanical problems with the aircraft, so they couldn't get another plane, so we bussed home. So I actually got to bed yesterday, Bob, about an hour after I normally get up. So
that's
I got
good.
To bed at 4:30 yesterday morning. So
that's not good for you, because I was thinking about you working the game, and
yeah.
I'm thinking, well, Dave's happy because he doesn't have to get up the next day. Is that right? Because you were off for two mornings.
Yeah, but I'm still up. Well, I mean, the first one, that was after it traveled, and then yesterday morning, because I didn't get home till. I got to bed at 4:30 in the morning.
I know.
I don't think I would have been much use to you yesterday. Let's put it that way.
I was barely much use to anybody yesterday myself here on a regular schedule. I know you're all about Northwestern, but how about the Fighting Illini basketball team?
Very impressive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep finding, you know, you only hear Mary's woo-hoos whenever Illinois does anything good.
And
you know, for years she's been quiet.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been very good, Dave. I finally have something to cheer about.
But, yeah, I mean, last night it got a little tense for him late. I was watching the game, and, you know, good teams managed to kind of get through those tough stretches late in games. And they did. And they're a very good team. And they were able to win on the road, which no one else in the Big Ten seems to be able to do. And they've won three Big Ten road games, which is rough. And now they go back on the road. Tough place to play on Sunday at Iowa, but we'll see if they can keep the streak going.
I know they're excited in Champaign.
Should
because
be.
The football team kind of had a good year.
They did.
Compared
yes.
to what's been going
Absolutely.
On down there, and
yeah.
now the basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's going on in the water in Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah, the program is going up.
See,
how about
Mary,
that?
Mary's
okay.
a former Illinette, so she takes special yeah. pride in
I do. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
ILL.
526. Coming up this morning, we'll talk Super Bowl with Dan Hampton, later on. And also we'll check in with our pal Lou Kanellis. Fox is doing the game, of course, Sunday. Lou's in Miami. We'll talk to him later on today and find out if they're just interviewing each other, if the broadcasters are just talking to each other now because they've finally run out of sidebar features. But it always happens.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they've interviewed just about everybody who's down there, I think. But we can, you know, talk to Lou about food or whatever.
Oh, well, that's right. He's primarily doing sports broadcasting as a hobby now. He's in the restaurant business. We'll get to him. And a reminder, when we talk about these things coming up later in the morning, if you can't be with us, you can listen later on because the whole show is online in podcast form at WGNRadio.com. The other thing I wanted to mention, 312-981-7200 for the first caller prize. We'll get to that. And the email here, bobshow@WGNRadio.com. If you want to email us, bobshow@WGNRadio.com. And, of course, Super Bowl snacks will be a big topic for us today. We have a list of how many calories in some of the popular Super Bowl foods. And I don't know if anybody really wants to hear this because, you know, I'm looking at this list. For example, three slices of pepperoni pizza, 939 calories. First of all, who can stop with three slices of pizza, right? I can do almost a whole pizza myself.
Are we talking thin or deep dish?
This would be thin.
Wow.
Deep dish, you're really in trouble. Six chicken wings, 710 calories. Two servings of cheese nachos, 549 calories. Yeah, that reminds me, you buy a bag of cookies or something, and it'll list the calories and the fat, you know, per serving. You know, 1.5 cookies per serving. Right. You eat the whole bag. 412 calories for three servings of barbecue potato chips.
And the servings are always so small, too.
The average,
like, who eats one cookie?
Well, that's it. The average American consumes a whole day's worth of calories and fat at a Super Bowl party. That would be 2,400 calories and 81 grams of fat. You know, I want to find out from Dan Hampton when we talk to him this morning what he will eat during the Super Bowl. I bet he goes past 2,400 calories and 81 grams of fat.
You know what? It's whatever he wants.
Yes, of course. And the other thing that caught my eye this morning is they're changing the whole format of the NBA All-Star game, aren't they? We'll talk more about that later, but this is all in honor of Kobe Bryant.
It's an honor. It's partly to honor Kobe Bryant and partly to change up the game because it's not been real compelling to watch, and you know, a lot of people have doubts. There's no defense played. It's a lot of scoring. You know, it's kind of fun from that standpoint, but they got a whole new way they're going to do it this year.
And let me get my schedule straight. Super Bowl is this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Oscars on the next Sunday.
Yes.
And the NBA All-Star Weekend, it's the weekend of the 14th?
Yeah, the game is Sunday the 16th.
All right.
At the United Center.
I'll try to stay in the moment and not look forward to everything else and be more mentally healthy today. I promise. I'll work on it. Here's a quick agribusiness update from Orion.
Good morning. If you were a seller of agricultural commodities like grains and livestock, yesterday was not a very good day. Soybean futures fell for an eighth consecutive session, hitting an eight-month low. And again, the rising toll from the coronavirus outbreak in China, adding to concerns about Chinese demand for American crops. And so at the end of the day in the Board of Trade grain market yesterday, March wheat down 2 cents a bushel, March corn down 4.5 cents a bushel, and March soybeans down 17 cents a bushel. But the big hit came in livestock yesterday as hog futures sank by their daily trading limit to contract lows, again under pressure from hefty supplies and fears about about the coronavirus outbreak. Cattle futures also hit multi-month lows in yesterday's trade. First of all, the lean hog contracts down the $3 daily limit in April, May, August, and June, and the February live cattle contract down 32 cents a hundredweight, the April feeder cattle contract down 17 cents a hundredweight in yesterday's trade. Weekly export sales of pork to China, not a very good number. 1,506 tons in the period from January 17th through the 23rd. And one analyst said exports are ripping just like we thought they would because of the concern over the spread of the disease and what it could do to consumer demand. That's Ag Biz for today. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. 541. Make sure you have some fluid in your reservoir in the car. What'd you think I was going to say? You'll need the spritzers this morning between the light snow and the thawing temperatures and the salt spray. You need to use the wipers, or at least I did earlier this morning. You know what I noticed about driving at this hour or earlier? For a lot of people, the traffic regulations and things like stoplights, optional when you're driving early in the morning. And you know, so you really have to be careful. I mean, you have a green light, but, you know, look both ways because people, like, I saw, like, two people just going right through reds this morning because, you know, there's nobody out there.
Have you ever been on lower Wacker at this hour?
Yeah, I come in, actually, the final home stretch when I park, I go down to lower Wacker and I see that. But
no rules down there. No,
I noticed this on Michigan Avenue this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's...
Got to be careful. I got stopped once because I kind of fudged through.
Well, yeah, you know? Look both ways, yeah. For not only other vehicles, but also for the law.
They're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Chicago's interim police superintendent, Charlie Beck, had an interesting comment the other day about this whole controversy regarding TMZ and the Kobe Bryant tragedy. Have you heard about this? TMZ reported before anybody else about the tragedy and identified the people who were on board, or at least Kobe Bryant and his daughter. And many people still upset with TMZ for doing this. And Charlie Beck said, you know, he's from Los Angeles. He worked in L.A. He said he didn't blink an eye when TMZ reported that Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter had been killed in that crash before Bryant's wife and three surviving daughters had been notified. It was par for the course in the celebrity frenzy that Beck said he endured in his law enforcement career in Los Angeles. And he said, that's just the way they are. I went through Camp O.J., I can't even explain that to you, Beck said, referring to O.J. Simpson's arrest. He said, the Bronco ends up going to the impound yard. We went back to get it, and it was picked clean. People had stolen everything off of it for a souvenir. Everything. It was insane, he said. So before the police could even get through it, people had picked it clean. So I think the problem here is everybody wants to be first. There are too many sources now for news between all the cable outlets, the internet sources, and everybody's out there. Some people are more competent than others. Some people are more ethical than others. But unfortunately, being first has become more important than being accurate. And it was interesting because, do you remember watching television last Sunday when you heard about the crash? And most people heard about it because they got some sort of notice on their phone. And then all the networks went with live coverage of the crash, but they didn't mention Kobe Bryant. But we all knew what was going on, but the networks, at least the ones I were watching, held back on that information that TMZ and others had put out there. And it was a very strange situation, and one that happens often in these times of internet news and everybody with the smartphone and social media. I mean, it's a problem. I guess if you're TMZ or one of the networks and you have this information, and you know everybody else is scrambling to get it, and so many people are fighting to be first, it's difficult. If there were only one news source, you wouldn't have to worry about the other guy. But It's not the way it is.
And what ends up happening is that the police were concerned that the names of the people on the helicopter or the people were hearing about the crash, relatives, families, next of kin, and had not been notified yet, but they were hearing it through the media. Which is
exactly
a terrible way to.
Yeah,
I mean, it's things are awful enough,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, no, it's horrible, and I don't know what anybody can do about it except you hope that all of these news organizations would give this some thought. But I know last Sunday this was going on. There was also a lot of misinformation, too. Do you remember the number of people on the helicopter, who was on the helicopter?
Right.
And as often happens during the first few minutes of a big story like that, again, everybody's scrambling to be first and getting information out there. And there is a lot that is wrong in the first hours of covering a big story like that. And so, but it was interesting when I saw Charlie Beck, who has spent so much time with the LAPD, talking about TMZ. And if you work out there, especially if you're a cop out there, you're used to that celebrity frenzy and everything that goes with it. And I thought that what they posted on Instagram, what Kobe Bryant's wife posted, and also their support for everybody, all the victims, was quite striking and right on, and just the perfect response, and something that I know when my wife I asked my wife, she said, "Did you see the Instagram post from Kobe's wife?" I said, "No, what did she say?" And she said, "I can't even read it to you anymore because it just makes me cry." I mean, it's something. People are still really going through the phase of disbelief, I think, now after the initial shock.
Well, last night the Clippers played in L.A. for the first time, and Paul George of the Clippers narrated a video. So here's one of the players. Really, really well done. Beautiful tribute. And then tonight the Lakers played their first game since Kobe was killed. They're playing the Portland Trailblazers, and they're planning, obviously, all kinds of tributes, special ceremony before the game to honor not only Kobe and his daughter, but also the other victims on the helicopter.
Yeah, it's and I know Dean Richards was talking to us about this yesterday. They're planning something for the Academy Awards, and I guess during the Super Bowl Sunday, we'll see various forms of tributes to Kobe Bryant as well. And of course, Kobe won an Oscar, didn't he?
He did.
He did a short documentary, won an Academy Award for that. So we're reminded of this tragedy here every day, it seems. It's 5:53 right now. And also, I wanted to mention the story today in the Tribune about Jimmy Garoppolo. From Rolling Meadows to Eastern Illinois to the Super Bowl, Colleen Kane in the Trib doing this interesting story. The two quarterbacks are very interesting, aren't they?
They are. They're also very good.
And Chicago connections to both.
Yeah, there are. But I think that, obviously, Garoppolo's from here, and he hasn't thrown the ball much in the playoffs because they haven't asked him to. That hasn't been their game plan. So it'll be interesting to see if he's called upon to try to win the game with his arm on Sunday. I think he's certainly capable of doing it, but Patrick Mahomes is a whole different deal. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch, and he's so talented. And I think it's going to be a great game. I'm really excited about it.
How many times will Mitch Trubisky be mentioned Sunday? Do you think they'll get into that?
I would say probably not at all. I wouldn't think not on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, if
this, I hope not.
We the Bears aren't involved in this.
Yeah, except you got your Robbie Gould deal going on.
There's the former Bear factor.
Yeah, it's kickoff a little after 5:30 Sunday, and the pregame has been going on all week, and the TV commercials We're hearing about those already. They've been on the news. What is it, 5 million for a minute or 5 million for 30? Something like that. 5 million for 30 seconds this year. Yeah. So
why don't you and I pool our resources?
Yeah.
Run a promo for the show.
Talking about money, do we have a market update coming up? Is that what we're going to do? Okay. Let's get to that in the newsroom. Steve Grzanich has it. Is it going to be a green day or a red day?
Well, right now it looks like it's going to be a red day. The Dow futures are off more than 150 points this morning, following most of the international markets lower. And as we look at the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Friday, January 31st, a couple of things could help move the markets one way or the other. Personal income and spending figures for December are due out. Analysts are forecasting a 0.4% increase in income and a 0.5% pickup in spending. Those numbers come out at about 7:30 this morning. The employment cost index is out. We'll get Chicago PMI and consumer sentiment numbers as well. And Orion will be watching farm prices today. In terms of earnings, we'll get Caterpillar, Chevron, Colgate, Palmolive, and ExxonMobil. And today is the day for Brexit. As the UK leaves the European Union, that's set to happen at about 10 o'clock Chicago time tonight. Just some of the things that could move the markets on Friday, January 31st.
Good morning from the penthouse studios of WGN here in the Bob Sirott building on East Wacker. It's 6:10. We've been talking about the Super Bowl prop bets, and you hear about this every year, but I did not know how they got started and why they got started. And actually, it all has to do with the Bears being in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl with the Patriots, the 85 game, Caesars Palace offered just a single prop bet on the matchup, 20-1 odds that fan favorite William the Refrigerator Perry would score an offensive touchdown during the game. And because there was so much action on the yes side of that bet, Caesars was forced to adjust the line all the way down to 2-1 before kickoff and ultimately had to pay out six figures after the fridge took that handoff of the goal line in for a score. The public not only beat the book that day, but also jump-started a Super Bowl prop bet marketing, a prop betting market that has exploded in 35 years since. Did you know that, Dave, that it all started with that?
I didn't realize that.
That score?
No.
Yeah.
That
and now we have all those crazy bets, and some of them, will they show the Golden Gate Bridge? Let's see, what are some of the other ones here? Demi Lovato.
Do you really have to bet on that? And why would
people do?
The game's in Miami anyway.
Will Demi Lovato omit a word from the national anthem? Will MC Hammer say Hammer Time in the Cheetos commercial? Will Joe Buck or Troy Aikman say Underdog in reference to the odds? Yeah, where's that story I saw this morning? Somebody's defending Joe Buck, I think, in the Sun-Times today.
Yeah.
Somebody who actually likes Joe Buck. And I am one of those people who I have not ever understood all the criticism he gets. I think it's just because he's ubiquitous.
Yeah, I think so. I think you've seen that with many announcers over the years who are always on and on every big event. And I think Joe does fine. He does a solid job, and some of it, you never please the fans of the team that's losing, or if you're perceived to be, there's always this perception that you're somehow calling it for one team, and you know you're really doing a good job when the fans of both teams think you're against them.
Right. The headline of the article, Jeff Agrest, is that how
Agrest,
he says it?
Yeah,
Agrest,
I believe. Yeah.
In the Sun-Times headline, I like Joe Buck. And then he goes through the reasons why he thinks the criticism is ridiculous. He'll be calling the game with Troy Aikman on Sunday. The duo is the second longest tenured NFL broadcast team behind Pat Summerall and Joe Madden. Other prop bets, total times Mike Shanahan is shown during the game. And what else here did I see? People do bet on these things, and it all started with the Bears Super Bowl appearance in 1985. Which auto brand commercial will air first? Which beer commercial will air first? Will Tom Brady be mentioned?
Yeah.
there's something like 1,000 of these wagers going on this year.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
The first U.S. case of the coronavirus spreading from one person to another was reported in Chicago yesterday. The husband of a woman who caught the disease while in China. That's the second case confirmed in Illinois, the sixth in the U.S. since the virus first started to spread. Chinese health officials now reporting nearly 2,000 new cases of the coronavirus recorded in the past 24 hours, bringing the worldwide total to nearly 10,000. The vast majority are in China. Death toll now 213. Our State Department has issued their highest alert, advising Americans to avoid traveling to China. The World Health Organization also declared the outbreak a global emergency after clear evidence emerged of human-to-human transmission of the virus in countries other than China, including the U.S.
Now, page two.
With the recent coronavirus outbreak, images from across the world show people wearing masks to ward off illness when traveling. This is very interesting, though. They say wearing a mask is recommended for preventing infection in healthy travelers, but there is little benefit to wearing a surgical-type mask, and that may even put you at greater risk for spreading the infection. Doctors at the Center for Disease Control saying that healthcare professionals and those in direct contact with the sick are advised to wear N95 medical respirator masks. These masks are rated for higher protection. I was reading more about this. It's a little confusing, but there was a report I saw on ABC News saying that there is little benefit to wearing the surgical-type mask, and it may even put you at greater risk for spreading the infection. Masks are used by doctors and nurses when dealing directly with sick people. The experts say we use them in the healthcare setting for two main reasons: to contain secretions of individuals who have respiratory infections and to protect healthcare workers providing direct care to patients. If a patient starts to develop symptoms, a surgical mask has been shown to limit spreading germs, which is not only polite but could help limit a dangerous outbreak. Then they go on to say many respiratory viruses are spread by large respiratory droplets, which are filtered by surgical masks. If someone has a cold or the flu or another viral respiratory infection, wearing a simple mask will decrease the risk of that person spreading the infection. So there's kind of conflicting information here from the experts. Healthcare professionals and those in direct contact with the sick advised to wear that N95 medical respirator mask, rated higher for protection. Industrial masks, like the ones used for construction or other occupational respirators, are not designed for healthcare use or infection control. Those medical N95 respirator masks are only recommended for healthcare personnel that are fit tested and trained in their use. They say if you wear those properly, the work of breathing is very difficult, but and it should not be worn for a long time. So I'm confused now because the headline and this big story on ABC was, does wearing a mask while traveling ward off illness? And the experts say, well, not necessarily. And, you know, it may be even harmful. I don't know if I get that yet. Masks are not recommended for general protection if you are not ill. The mask itself, oh, here we go. The mask itself can become contaminated and serve as a source of infection, actually doing more harm than good. Instead, the experts advise avoid travel if you're ill. Sneeze or cough into your sleeve and not your hand. And always wash your hands frequently. And let's see, the word is soap and water for at least 20 seconds, and it's a lot better than Purell. All right, are we straight on this
and
now?
Wash your sleeves also.
Yeah, you better.
We got a note from our pastor yesterday that we are not supposed to be, we are not going to do the Eucharistic wine anymore, you know, drinking from the chalice. We can't do that. We can't shake hands during the sign of peace.
So the traditional passing of the germs is going to be
Yep.
Canceled for
yep.
now. Okay.
Hey, straight.
Moving on, the top six at six. The impeachment trial may end as soon as today, after a key Republican senator said he would vote against considering new evidence. Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee had been among a handful of Republicans who were seen as undecided on allowing more witnesses and documents in the trial. But yesterday he said that while the president had acted inappropriately, his dealings with Ukraine were not impeachable offenses. A vote on whether to allow new evidence is expected today. If it fails, Republican leaders could move the trial to final deliberations and a speedy up or down vote on each article of impeachment.
Page four.
Island Express Helicopters. The company that owns the helicopter that crashed Sunday, killing Kobe Bryant and eight others, is suspending all flight service for operational reasons, they say. The representatives from the company declined to provide any other details about the suspension. In addition to charter flights, Island Express provides regular helicopter service to and from Catalina Island. Investigators are still trying to determine exactly what caused the crash and whether the pilot should have been granted special permission to fly in those foggy conditions Sunday morning.
Don't it may concern.
Rivers in Des Plaines. The Grand Victoria in Elgin and the Argosy in downtown Alton filed the state's first applications for sports wagering licenses last week after the Illinois Gaming Board issued rules governing operations. Those rules, which cover everything from how to place bets to what equipment to use, were unanimously approved by the board at its meeting yesterday. The Gaming Board is reviewing the applications and plans to issue temporary operating permits to allow the sports books to launch as soon as they are ready to do so.
Stand by for news.
And number six, while wings and pizza are the two most popular Super Bowl snacks, others are close behind. Anybody here want to take a guess? Now, wings, the number one Super Bowl food. Pizza is number two. What would you guess is number three?
Nachos.
We'll give a yes to Mary because it's chips. Yes, that's
ding,
right.
Ding,
nachos
ding.
Are
woo-hoo.
Chips. Yes, that's number three. And what do you think number four is? Anybody?
Veggie dip. Doubt it.
Not even in the top ten. Number four? Pretzels. Pretzels
okay.
are number four.
Oh, yeah. Pretzels. They were number five last week. They've moved up.
Thank
one
you,
spot.
Thank you, Casey Kasem. And number five on the list, anybody? I'll give
like
you a
beer
give
nuts.
You a clue. Oh, that's it. Nuts. Nuts. Number five.
Ding ding ding.
Wings and pizza, the two most popular Super Bowl snacks. Chips close behind, with an expected 11 million pounds of chips to be consumed Sunday.
Who's well, out there weighing the chips? That's what I want to.
Somebody's
know.
Just making this stuff up. As well as an estimated 4 million pounds of pretzels and 2.5 million pounds of nuts. As I mentioned, my wife's out of town Sunday. So I'm thinking, if I'm not invited to a Super Bowl party, and I'm not sure I want to be invited to a Super Bowl party, I would just get a pizza. But it's tough to order a pizza Sunday, so maybe I should pick up a frozen pizza ahead of time.
You're way overthinking this, Bob.
I overthink everything.
We're going to a Super Bowl party. You want to come? I could probably wangle an invite for you. And they're going to have pizza.
Really? Well, I was thinking if I go to a party, I'd go maybe for the first half of the party and then come home. And then as I'm getting ready for bed, you know, watch the second half. But the game will be over by about 9:30, right?
No, the game should be over about 8:30-ish.
8:30?
Yeah.
Really?
That's to
no, not that early. Kickoff's
only 3 hours, doubt it.
Yeah, it's
kickoff's after 5:30. Then
yeah,
you get
I mean,
your
the
halftime
Super Bowl
show.
Tends to run a little longer, but yeah. The game should end sometime around 8:30, maybe 8:45.
That's not too bad.
Yeah,
we can make it to that.
Yes, when I'm at a party, I can't really watch the game or, you know, focus on the commercials. It's too distracting.
I will be focusing on the game.
Well, I know you will.
Dave sits in the corner.
Yeah, no, but then how many people at your party?
Oh, it's
party?
A small. It's
Is
a
it your party?
Issue. No.
Oh, you're going to somebody's party. You're
yes.
inviting me to somebody else's
well,
party.
Well, I'm going to see if I can.
And about how many people would be at this party?
Oh, there are probably a half dozen. Not too many.
But would I have to talk to people?
No, not if you don't want to.
Why are you going? Just for the food?
Yeah, exactly. Because he can't get a pizza on Sunday.
That would solve my problem. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not that sociable, really. I'm barely sociable here, but, you know, away from here, it's, if not for my wife, I would have no friends, believe me. I mean, you know, I'm not the life of the party.
Well, you know that I mentioned about maybe coming to this party. Let's rethink this.
Yeah, you don't.
This is my antisocial friend Bob over here.
You don't want me at your party. It takes people a number of years to sort of figure me out, and at first everybody hates me at first. And with good reason, too. But after a while, they realize it's not that I'm mean or angry. It, you know, it's just that this takes everything out of me to talk here for 4 hours. Have we done the top six of six? All right, let's close this thing up.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top Six at Six with Bob Sarash on WGN Radio.
And we'll talk to our pal from the Chicago Police Department, the author of A Beat Cop's Guide to Good Eats, Lieutenant David Haynes, right after the news.
Just the facts, if you don't mind, ma'am.
The story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
This is our new production for Lieutenant David Haynes, author of A Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats. He joins us at this time every Friday to talk about restaurants. Good morning, Lieutenant. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
You like that?
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah, except that it makes me want to make L.A. police jokes, which is not a good career.
No, not with Charlie Beck.
And I'm sorry I didn't give you a kiss when I came in this morning like I normally do, but the coronavirus has got me a little freaked out.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I was actually watching an Adam 12 rerun last night.
Oh, yeah?
That was pretty amusing. Well, I forget. I asked you this a long time ago. What was the one police show that you watched and thought, yeah, this is how it really is. This is the best one.
Barney Miller.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's the closest to reality where you just sit around and talk about stuff all day and don't really seem to do a whole lot. But
is that what goes on the Northwest Side in Jefferson Park where you are?
Oh, yes. We have very very laid back. I have a theory about the coronavirus and Corona beer thing.
Okay.
I know I heard you talking about how to people are Googling it. Because police officers have a dark sense of humor, I think I know why. There's a video going viral about a girl dumping Corona beer down, and it's a stage video, I'm sure, but it's absolutely hilarious. I think that everybody's Googling that video.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking this morning with Judy Wang from Channel 9, and she mentioned how this is one of the things going around, this rumor about the Corona beer.
I think it has to do with this, like, it's almost like an SNL skit from some foreign country.
Crazy. All right, let's get to food. And first of all, you brought in some treats today, didn't you?
I did. You know, I over the last couple of weeks, I've mentioned that you don't seem to be bringing anything in for the producers and Dave Ennett, who's starving over here. And so the bakeries around Chicago have opened their hearts to your staff, and they were bringing in. So Molly's Cupcakes sent some cupcakes in. Molly's Cupcakes is the one down at 1150 South Wabash, right next to the 11 City Diner. Which right is fantastic, and they make these fantastic cupcakes, all different flavors. They had a cream brulee one. They had a turtle cupcake. They had they even had gluten free, flourless chocolate cupcakes that I brought a couple home for my wife. So
that doesn't sound like something that would be tasty to me.
It actually is.
Is it really?
If you're trying not to eat flour, you know, you get used to kind of the gluten free style, and they're coming up with some great stuff these days. And these cupcakes were very good. They're like chocolate cake. You can't really tell the difference.
Molly's Cupcakes, 1150 South Wabash. I've been to the 11 City Diner. Is that the name of it? 11 City Diner. I've been there, but I haven't noticed Molly's. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, the last time I was there, I don't know how long they've been there. They've been there at least a year, I'm sure. But they also have these, inside there's tables you could sit at. The tables and the chairs are hanging from chains from the ceiling. So they're like, it's like sitting on a swing eating your cupcakes. But you can't swing very far. So you can take the kids there. They're not going to lose their heads. They're, you know.
Well, Vivian, one of our producers, celebrating a birthday today, appreciates your gift this morning.
Right. Yeah, she looks like she's 25, right?
They all look like they're 25 to us now, Lieutenant. We're going to talk about pizza, which is very appropriate for Super Bowl weekend. We'll get to that after a quick break. And tell briefly how this works. Now, you actually check these places out, but you get the recommendations from fellow officers around the city, right?
Right. Yeah, I sort of put out a call to get restaurants. Just this doing this has actually spurred me on to start the next edition of our book. And the I put out a call. I've actually, in the last 2 weeks, got 80 recommendations for different restaurants. The idea being it's places that guys go to eat lunch when they're working. Now, I did get some nice restaurants. My wife's happy about that because I'm off tonight, so we're going to go out to a nice restaurant somewhere. But they're mostly cheaper places you go for lunch. You can get in and out for under $20 in half an hour. And they're places you could drive past a million times. You wouldn't go there unless somebody tells you it's good.
Yeah. And the great thing about this is we get information from all over the city because you're tapping into your colleagues on the police force.
Right.
It's our Friday visit with the author of A Beat Cop's Guide to Good Eats, Lieutenant David Haynes, fresh from his overnight shift in the 16th District. And, Lieutenant, you are going to review a pizza place for us today.
Yes, pizza and chicken. It's called Route 66 Pizza. It's at 101-80 South Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I don't normally go that far south.
Yeah, it's hard when there are that many numbers.
And it's, it was recommended by a police officer, Evan Solano, from 16, who was also... him and his partner, Sammy Encarnacion, were voted the Officers of the Month last month in the 16th District by the Citizens Board, whatever they have a citizens meeting. And
well, that's impressive.
Yeah. So he's a great police officer. And
he knows his pizza, apparently.
Yeah, she does. And goes to the South Side. I don't know why you go all the way from there to the South Side to have pizza, but this place was very good.
So he works with you on the Northwest Side?
Yes.
Okay, and this place is on South Indianapolis.
Right. Just a couple blocks north of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And the casinos and the fireworks stores if you need any. But don't bring them back into Chicago because that's illegal.
Of course not.
But Route 66 Pizza has, it's not just pizza, although they have very good pizza, but they have broasted chicken, which is what I got because I'm trying to avoid the bread. And
good for you.
The broasted chicken was phenomenal.
Hmm.
One thing to know, it takes 20 minutes because they cook everything fresh there when you order it. They don't like parboil it and have it waiting halfway cooked. And everything is made right there when you order it. My friend who had the Hawaiian burger, which was, I think, modeled after the Big Kahuna burger from Pulp Fiction, had pineapple on it, cheeseburger. It was actually pretty good.
Well, so do they specialize in pizza or these other things?
They do a little bit of everything. Their specialty is pizza, and the pizza was very good. But I thought that I wanted to mention some of the other things they do because I liked the chicken better. The broasted chicken was absolutely fantastic. And they also do fresh-cut fries. And now, when you go past this place, it does not look like if you live down there and you've probably driven past it a million times, it looks like a little shack.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any chairs inside. They have a little counter. Maybe two people can stand there and eat if you really had to. And a picnic table out in front for nice days. When I was there was like three people eating in their car, which is what I did. And
in your police car?
No, I was driving in my friend's car. So
just checking.
But we sat out there and ate. So it's not a place that you sit down and eat, but it had fantastic food. And it's also, it doesn't really have a big sign. Everything's like painted on the wall with Route 66 Pizza painted on the wall.
Those are always the best places.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
All right. So it's called Route 66 Pizza, 101-80 South Indianapolis.
And nice people, too. Great, great staff.
All right, pizza, broasted chicken, a Hawaiian burger, hand-cut fries. All right, sounds pretty good. You want to get to some restaurant news next, or you want to talk about the other place you were hanging out at this past week? What was it, a wine bar? Is that what you said?
No, Rosa's Lounge. Rosa's Lounge is the best blues bar in the city because it's not the touristy places over on Halstead. This place has been there for like 40 years. It's at 3420 West Armitage in Chicago, and my wife and I went there, and we sat watching blues. We go there fairly rare, maybe once every 3 months or so. But it's a little place. The cover charge isn't that expensive, and they have these great old Chicago blues guys. There's a guy named Vance Kelly playing tonight. I'm off tonight, so maybe I'll go. But it's just I wanted to mention it because I just love Rose's Lounge, and it's just a great old Chicago place. Another place that, to look at it from the front, looks dark and quiet, and you go in there, and it's just fantastic music.
We have to check
great
that
crowd.
Out. Rose's on Armitage.
Rose's, yeah, 3420 on Armitage.
Restaurant news. By the way, it's still Restaurant Week. Restaurant Week actually lasts till February 9th. Special deals at Chicago restaurants. Check that out. The last remaining outpost from former Chicago bar institution John Barleycorn is no more. The company closed their Lincoln Park place a few years ago. They rebranded a River North location, turning it into Old Crow Smokehouse. The Wrigleyville Bar at 3524 North Clark operated for 20 years. That space now slated to become a Cresco Labs marijuana dispensary.
Well, and I had my promotional party when last time I got promoted at John Barleycorn.
John Barleycorn, yeah.
I loved them. They're very good to the police there. They're very nice people.
That was a fixture.
Now we'll see if they're nice to the retired police officers when they become a cannabis joint. You know?
And then this is interesting, and Lieutenant, you probably have gone to a couple of these places. Christopher Borelli in the Trib put together a list of cult pizzas in the city. He wrote, cult pizza, which is what I call Chicago pizza that has a substantial following yet doesn't always work its way to best of lists, inspires lines of tourists. It doesn't inspire lines of tourists or rattle reflexively off tongues that brag about Chicago being the greatest pizza town in America. It's our everyday pizza, though. It's neighborhood pizza, the pizza you return to decades after you have moved away somewhere. Cult pizza is family. And then he goes down a list of places. Been to any of these? Bill's Pizza and Pub in Mundelein, Palmaro's on 63rd Street. Our House, which is a staple of Green City Market and Logan Square Farmers Markets, Lefty's Pizza Kitchen in Wilmette, Joe's Italian Villa in Palos Heights, Smack Dab in Rogers Park, which Christopher Borelli of the Trib says has the best pizza in Chicago that you had no idea about. It's actually a breakfast spot and bakery on Clark Street that at night, from Thursday through Sunday only, delivers a perfectly balanced, slightly greasy, zero pretense, slightly spicy, East Coast style thin pie. Smack Dab in Rogers Park. And then he's got Bob's Pizza in Pilsen, Sticks and Bricks on Armour Square Park, Forno Rosso Pizzeria in Dunning, Rosangela's, Evergreen Park, Baroni's of Glen Ellen, Dante's in Logan Square and Avondale, Union Square, Evanston, and Barnaby's. Been to any of those?
Dante's and Barnaby's. Actually, Barnaby's isn't one of those. I can see, I didn't recognize hardly any of those names. Like, they didn't name Baracco's down in Mount Greenwood or Armand's up on Northwest Island.
No, he can go on. Yeah. Everybody's got their favorite list.
Barnaby's, though, is an interesting one. Somebody just mentioned that to me because they said they went to Barnaby's and they didn't like it because there was a bunch of screaming kids running around. And I go, that's the beauty of Barnaby's. You can let your kids go crazy.
I think the last time I was there with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I go to one up on Caldwell, and there's this guy who looks like a pro wrestler with bald head, looks like a mafia guy, who just sits there, and he presides over the whole place, and the kids run around him screaming, and he never smiles, he never laughs, and the kids love him. I don't understand.
There's your restaurant news and restaurant review. You want to mention this hat quickly? Oh,
yeah, I saw there's a story, and I think it was in Eater Chicago. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But about the new Cubs hat that has a big deep dish pizza on it, and there was the whole story was complaining about how hideous it was that they didn't use the Chicago style hot dog, which I thought wouldn't look good on a hat.
Yeah,
And the pizza looked pretty good. I mean, the story was funny because it complained about the whole thing. And I just thought they did a whole bunch of hats for a whole bunch of cities with what is known in that city. And I thought deep dish pizza was a pretty good Chicago thing.
I'm looking at the hats. A Cubs hat, got the city flag on the front, and then like a deep dish pie in the back. Doesn't look hideous. It's from New Era Cap Company based out of Buffalo, New York. a new line of hats for Major League Baseball.
I was wondering if they had baked beans on the Boston Red Sox egg.
Well, they should. Lieutenant David Haynes has a podcast as well. You want to mention this?
Yeah, and we're doing it live today. We're trying to get it right. But if you look for Beat Cop's Guide on YouTube or on Facebook, then you can see us about 5 o'clock this evening.
They're playing you off.
Ah.
Recognize the music?
Yeah, it's nice. Yes, Hill Street Blues. I was just watching that recently. It's on Hulu now.
We'll talk to you next Friday, Lieutenant.
All right, let's be careful out there.
Hey, let's be careful out there.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Almost 10 after 7. Good morning. I knew this would happen as soon as we started mentioning neighborhood pizza joints. So many texts with other suggestions and recommendations. John's, Best of All in Hammond, La Villa on Pulaski and Addison. Let's see, Villanova Pizza in Stickney. And did I mention on Christopher Borelli's Tribune list that he also had Pizza Castle in Gage Park and Rosangela's in Evergreen Park? Forgot whether I included those. Wanted to get those in there. Let's catch up on some of your feedback and open up the Bob Surratt mailbox. And our email, by the way, is bobshow@wgnradio.com. And the text, same as the phone number, 312-981-7200. Email from Diane. What was the name of the documentary you mentioned on the radio? Oh, you got to see this. If you missed it on PBS the other night, see if you can find it and watch The Poison Squad. It traces the roots of the FDA and the first U.S. consumer protection laws, and it's unbelievable. It's the story of this little-known government chemist, Dr. Harvey Wiley. It's based on a book. It's from a book, The Poison Squad. So you got to see this. You won't believe what we were doing to our foods and beverages years ago. The Poison Squad, American Experience on PBS. Let's see, from Bob, it says, "Hi, Bob, working on my computer, and the sunshine music was making me smile and feel happy." Yeah, yesterday we played a little medley of sunny songs to sort of snap out of this dreariness. Leslie writes, "Bob, I've been a longtime WGN listener. I was thrilled when I heard you on the morning show. I must admit, I don't wake up as early as 5, but I'm ready from 6:30 to 9. The sunshine music you played really got me going. I'm ready to go out and do something, even though there's no place I have to be. Keep on keeping on." And a few texts on that, too, from 309 area code. "While you're playing the music, I can't read the paper and dance around the house. Knock it off." 773 wrote, "Bob, in the Midwestern wintertime, you want cloud cover. It means warmer temperatures. Radiant sun in January means frigid air. I'll take the cloud cover." Well, that's a good point. From 773, "Thanks for the music for sad sufferers. It helped, but you probably freaked a few listeners out, especially if they just tuned in. Love the show." That's from Cindy. Thank you, Cindy. 847, "Bob, love the show. Please don't limit your praise for police officers to the city of Chicago. Suburban police also put their lives on the line every day. Thanks." That is certainly a point well taken. And then we have a few texts of, I'd say this is in the complaint department. 847, "I have been listening to Bob Surratt's show for a portion of every day this month, but I always do so at the beginning of it. And I've noticed that he always starts the show with a complaint or woe is me kind of statement. Complaining is a natural form of communication for all of us, but I don't think it's good." Remember, I can't stand criticism, especially if it's justified.
We hadn't noticed that, Bob.
And then there is this. 630. "Hey, Bob, I'm glad you're back on GN. Like your voice in the morning. Too bad Marianne can't be on with you. I was wondering how to become the first caller. What time do I have to call in? For years I've wanted to win an indoor desktop weather station, or maybe you can call me. If you want to watch the Super Bowl someplace, you're more than welcome to come over. I live in Oak Forest." Well, if you're the first caller on the radio, and we start here at 5, so usually the prizes have been awarded between 5 and 5:30. So make a note for Monday, 312-591. No, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I'm still giving telephone numbers from the 70s. And Marianne will be with us this morning at about 8:40. Thank you for asking. From 219, well, this is interesting. I'm 52, and I enjoy Ro Khan on the way home. He is whiny like Bob, but Ro is actually funny, and it's part of his shtick. He's also a lot more entertaining, knowledgeable, and actually sounds alive as opposed to Bob. And finally, this from 773, you are a moron. Flattery will get you nowhere. Let's get to the weather.
You should stop reading those.
We like to bring you what we call extremely local news, courtesy of Block Club Chicago. Good morning, Seamus Toomey. How you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk first about what's happening in my old neighborhood, Albany Park.
Yeah, talk about extremely local news. This is specific to a couple blocks in Albany Park, Wilson between Kedzie and Sacramento. Okay, so you know, you've driven down narrow streets where the cars just sort of, the drivers get smart and they just start parking up on the lawn, you know, mm-hmm. put a couple tires up on the curb or on the lawn, mm-hmm. basically so someone doesn't take out your driver's side mirror.
Right.
You know, the big trucks or the SUVs need to fold their mirrors in, whatever. But eventually people get smart and just start parking up on the grass. No problem, except on this block where they've been doing this for years, the whole block got ticketed yesterday sometime between 6 and 9 a.m.
For the first time?
For the first time. And it just blew their minds. Like, hey, we've been doing this for years. We're trying to just protect our cars. And in fact, it was written into the law that those blocks could do it. Dick Mell apparently had pushed this through when they had narrowed the street. They'd put in some wider curbs, and it was okay for everyone to do this, in fact. And so they went crazy. They called the alderman. They went on social media like you do nowadays to get things done. And within a couple hours, the new alderman up there, Rosanna Rodriguez, had responded to him, had gotten the Department of Revenue to wipe them all clean, and, you know, happy end of the story.
So they're not going to be ticketed anymore for doing that.
They're not going to be ticketed, and I would imagine whoever wrote all those tickets has probably, you know, got a tongue lashing last night. Like, come on, not that block.
Too bad Lieutenant David Haynes left the building already. We could have asked him about that. Let's move on to the former top cop, Gary McCarthy, and what he's up to now.
Yeah, it's very interesting now that weed is legal in Illinois to kind of see, you know, who gravitates towards the industry, particularly law enforcement folks like Gary McCarthy, former superintendent, famously fired by Rahm Emanuel, then ran against, you know, then ran for mayor and lost last year. He just got hired as a security consultant for MoCA, which stands for Modern Cannabis. They have a dispensary in Logan Square, and they're trying to open one of the coveted downtown locations. They've got a spot picked out in River North. And so they went before neighbors this week, and our reporter there, Justin Lawrence, spotted, hey, that's Gary McCarthy sitting with that crowd. So he went up and asked, you know, what are you doing here? And sure enough, they brought him in sort of to bolster their security, give him a higher profile to, you know, to basically, you know, like, hey, we have some star power here to who knows how to provide security in the city of Chicago.
And those dispensaries, there's a lot of money being handed around. Are they cash only? I know a lot of the big chains like the MedMen, it's only cash, and so they have to beef up security.
Exactly. Most of them are cash only. I know there's some that take debit cards, but MoCA in particular, this is not a theoretical threat. They actually got burglarized 6 days after people, you know, lined up to give all their Christmas money to them, and someone got in there and took $200,000 from their safe. So they have to deal with that. You know, they've got to answer to, like, how did you let that happen so fast? And so the next thing you know, Gary McCarthy's there to help.
So he's the security consultant, and they are going to open in River North, and I don't know if they're opening elsewhere too. I heard about the River North place.
They're trying to open in River North. There are rules, obviously, about how many of these you can have within a certain zone. So they're one of three that have picked out buildings and have leases and are, you know, fingers crossed that they get to get the coveted spot, but not a sure thing at all, and that's why you want to sort of put your best foot forward when you go before these boards and the neighbors.
Let's go over to Marshall High School and the story about folks helping the paralyzed coach there. And this dates back, 5 or 6 years, correct?
Right. This is, your listeners have probably heard about Sean Harrington in the past. He was an assistant coach at Marshall High School. He was shot in 2014 in a mistaken identity case. He was driving with his daughter, his young daughter. Shots were fired. He actually shielded her, laid across her to protect her, and ended up getting shot in the back and being paralyzed. He had a previous fame back in the Hoop Dreams. You remember, Dave? You remember Hoop Dreams, of course.
Yes, we all do.
Yeah, he was one of the players actually on St. Joe's and also on Marshall, the two schools profiled in there. He was in the movie as well. Saw a little bit of fame there. Went on to assistant coach at Marshall. They won the state championship when he was on the bench. But he's been struggling, obviously, ever since the shooting. He's in a wheelchair. He lives in Oak Park with an aunt in a non-accessible or very hard-to-access apartment, so he never gets out that much. His old coach says, you know, the irony of it is everyone knows this guy. He's friends with all these famous people, yet he stays inside a lot of these days because he can't get in and out easily. So his coach, Russ Bradford, has launched a fundraiser trying to get Sean a accessible condo or apartment to live in, and it's really taken off. It went up just a couple days ago. They're trying to raise as much as $250,000. We wrote about it yesterday. It spiked. It's up to about $27,000 now, but you know they're far away from the goal. But it's really starting to flow in, and it's a sad story. But this guy is such a likable person who has touched so many young people's lives on the bench. People have seen the movie. People who have heard his story since the 2014 shooting. So it's a worthy cause. Details of the GoFundMe are on blockclubchicago.org or on GoFundMe as well.
He's inspired many people, certainly, so hopefully that will go well. And finally, we have some breaking bakery news from the South Side, and this is good news. Folks are excited about this, aren't they?
A bakery will not open nor close in Chicago without Block Club writing about it. This one is both. Bridgeport Bakery closed in October. The owner had health problems, had a quadruple bypass, and decided he's retiring. I'm done after 50 years serving bacon buns to the good folks of Bridgeport. Much sadness. People flocked. Some people told us they filled up their freezers with it before they could with the buns before they closed. But a couple weeks after, a gentleman, a local pharmacist, stepped up and said, "Hey, you know, I'm ready to take the mantle here." Guy named Can Lau lives nearby, so he bought the place. He got the old owner, Ron Pavelka, to teach him all the recipes and rehired all the staff that had been let go. And he's been working on getting the place up and running, shooting for a February 10th opening. He certainly wants to be ready for Punchki Day. They sold 25,000 last year. But so he did a soft opening yesterday. Let's just see how we're doing, see how our bacon buns are. Didn't announce it, didn't do anything. And somehow the neighborhood found out about it. By 6 a.m., there were lines. They sold out all the bacon buns by 6 a.m.
No kidding. This is yesterday?
This was yesterday. Yeah, but we got word of it, got a reporter over there, and you know, the shelves were almost bare by then. And I was thinking, boy, this is a heck of a soft opening.
Wow. Bridgeport Bakery. Do you have the address of that place? There might be some folks out of the area who want to check that out.
Exactly. It's at 2907 South Archer in Bridgeport. The Bridgeport Bakery. Can Lau seems like he bought a winner.
Yeah, the neighbors were excited about that. That's your extremely local news for this Friday. Thanks to Block Club Chicago and Seamus Toomey, as always. And we'll check in with you folks again Monday. Have a good weekend, Seamus.
Thank you.
And a reminder here about the Wintrust Crosstown Series Arizona Fan Flyaway. This spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona, and you could be the lucky fan to win a trip for two to Phoenix Airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game. That's March 13th. Sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. If you want to register and be eligible to win, go to WGNradio.com/contests for that. And coming up, we'll talk football. Dan Hampton joins us. Dave Ennett standing by to question Hamp about, is he going to give us his predictions?
Yes, and he's also going to give us the combined weight of all the snacks that will be served at the Hampton home.
That he will eat. Yes, yes. All right, we've done the neighborhood news. Now we'll take you through the entire city and around the world for our update. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning, Dan. Dave Ennett standing by with some Super Bowl questions for you. My question first is, what are you going to be eating Sunday? But before you answer that, keep this in mind. Three slices of pepperoni pizza equals 939 calories. If you eat six chicken wings, 710 calories. Two servings of cheese nachos, 549 calories. And three servings of barbecue potato chips, 412 calories. There you go, Dan.
Wow. Hey, listen, what's the over-under on me and 5,000 calories of chicken?
Yeah, they say the average American consumes a whole day's worth of calories and fat at a Super Bowl party. That would be 2,400 calories and 81 grams of fat. There you go.
Well, Lord have mercy. I guess, you know, everyone's sitting fat and sassy because it's going to be one of the great games. I've obviously been watching this a long time, and I can't remember when it's been such an interesting matchup. And if you capsulize it, for a lot of folks, you know, the New England Patriots, they had a wonderful run with the greatest quarterback of all time, possibly. But this looks like the age-old question, the greatest player versus the greatest team. And we all know that Patrick Mahomes is special, and, you know, we could talk all morning about that and why isn't he in Chicago, right? But the overarching point is he going to be good enough to overcome some deficiencies with the rest of his football team to match up with the 49ers, who in a lot of ways, you got to say, hey, they're doing it the old-fashioned way, the old-school way, where they run the ball when they want to, not when you let them, when they want to. And their defense, they get after you with a great pass rush. And that was the formula that won an awful lot of games for the Chicago Bears back when I played.
Hamp, who is more important to the 49ers' chances of pulling off what would be a mild upset over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo or is it Nick Bosa?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, at the very least, it can be a 50-50 split. But here's the one thing. I think it's Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa, as a lot of folks may know, he's a rookie defensive end that has been tremendous this year, getting after the quarterback, creating not only pass rush, but he can run people down. And the one thing is that for the Chiefs to win, their quarterback has to play great. They can't beat you left-handed by running the ball and playing great defense. That's not their bag. But the 49ers can. Jimmy Garoppolo can throw the ball. He threw it seven times against the Packers or something, and it didn't matter. So I think it's Bosa. And if he is a force in the game, then, you know, it only plays into the 49ers' hands. But you know, the one thing about the Kansas City offense, they have so much speed. They basically are so daunting that you don't want to blitz. And most teams, when they finally have to blitz, when they can't get, you know, defensive stops, that's when Mahomes is very good, buying a little time and breaking down the defense with, isolated route and throwing it 70 yards for a touchdown. The 49ers, they don't have to blitz that much because, like I said, they've got a defensive line and Bosa, and we'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, it's a wonderful question. But, hey, as much as we all like the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo from Chicago, we love the kid, well, he may not have to be the MVP for the 49ers to win.
Bob Surratt, back with Dan Hampton and Dave Ennett. And Dan, you know what I wanted to hear from you? I want your take on these predictions from a couple of Chicago sports writers. Rick Tellender says it'll be Chiefs 31-27. I think the 49ers are the better team, but the Chiefs are comeback artists. And then Rick Morrissey says it'll be Chiefs 35-31. Patrick Mahomes is too talented and too creative to be stopped, even by a good 49ers defense. This is going to be another rough day for Bears general manager Ryan. Mitch is our quarterback pace. What do you think?
Well, of all those declarations, I think the last one is probably the most apropos. look, both of these teams, you know, we had to trade the 49ers a lot of picks to move up to one very important nonsensical move to get Mitch. And then, of course, the Kansas City would not be there without the player we didn't even regard as important enough for us to really do the due diligent homework, and of course meaning Patrick Mahomes, because the general manager said, oh, Mitch is the guy, we love him. So anyway, at the end of the day, both of those, yeah, they can very well be that way. But I'll tell you this, as I said, it's the best player versus the best team. And you know, I've been around the game a long time, and sooner or later you have to realize, you know, for the Chiefs to win and do what both of my dear friends, those riders, very good and smart guys, for that to happen, that means Mahomes has to play great. Now, the 49ers, they don't have to have their quarterback play great, and they could beat you left-handed. They could, if they have to throw the ball, they can still do it well enough to win. But the Chiefs, they've got to have Mahomes throw for 350 and four touchdowns, whatever it is. They don't, then it's not going to work out. But the one thing is, it'll be a fascinating matchup for a lot of reasons. But here's the one that really sticks in my head. The 49ers are very, very good on offense. It's almost a hidden hand. They are the best team in football on first down. And what is first down? Well, it's one of four, but it's the most important, because it allows you to do better and easier things on second and third down. Now, when he was Kyle Shanahan was the coach in Atlanta, they led the league in yards per attempt on first down with Matt Ryan, a good quarterback. And then he gets a job in San Francisco. And even with a nobody nothing team, they're still fifth in the league with C.J. Beathard. The next year with Mike Mullins, who's changing the oil on Mr. Cat's car right now, at quarterback, they're third in the league. And this year, guess what? With Jimmy Garoppolo, they're number one in football on first down. So what does that do? It manipulates the defense. It puts you in a box where you can't blitz. You can't call a lot of very exotic defenses. And the other part of this is you control the ball. That means you keep it away. You play keep away from you-know-who, Mr. Mahomes. So that's why I think, and again, hey, the Chiefs, could they blow them out 40 to nothing? Sure. Could it be 10 to 10 going into the fourth quarter? Sure. You have no idea. That's why they sell tickets. That's why we're going to be eating chicken wings watching it. But I believe somehow, some way, the 49ers dominate the clock. They find a way to win the game.
You know, that's something they did, Hamp, against Green Bay all day. That's why, if you go back and look at that game, the 49ers were coming up with those second and shorts all the time. Mostert, I'm not sure what percentage of his yardage he got on first down, but it felt like it was like 60-70% of it. Didn't it feel that way watching that game?
Absolutely. I think it was almost 9 yards a carry. And so, hey, even Mark Trestman can run an offense when it's second and one. And super job by the offensive line. But more importantly, you know, here's what they do. They've gone back, and what they're doing is they're playing triple chess. They have such exotic motion that manipulates the defense with the tight end, the receivers, and a fullback. Nobody, you know, we're too smart to use a fullback here in Chicago. Well, guess what? Maybe the fullback tight end combination will be the reason why the 49ers win a Super Bowl. And maybe then everybody goes, wow, maybe we need to do that too. But either way, there are a lot of nuances. And Dave Wannstedt and I were talking about this a month ago, that, you know, personnel-wise, the 49ers don't scare you. But here they come, and you can't stop them because they're very, very good at what they're doing. Kyle Shanahan has really got a lot of things working right now.
I know that the Chiefs excel in coming from behind, but you worry at all about the way they've started their last two games. Certainly didn't slow them down much, but like against Houston, where they're down by three touchdowns at the end of the first quarter, and you can only come from behind so many times, it would seem like, even though Mahomes and that offense seem magical, the way they've come back in one of these games.
Well, absolutely. It almost looks like they're toying with the opponent going, yawn, is it time to play now?
Yeah.
Well, that'll catch up to you sooner or later. But fundamentally, there's a reason why they were down. And that's one of the reasons I'm going to 49ers. Kansas City has been very undisciplined on defense a lot of times. You know, they jumped off sides. But the thing about this, the Texans led them back in that game. They went for a fourth and one fake punt, and they basically said, hey, we want you back in the game. Here, score three times real quick and get back in it. But, hey, trust me, Kansas City is a team that puts a lot of fear in the defense. But they got to have the ball. And like I've been talking for 12 minutes, they're going to have a hard time getting the ball away from the 49ers because they're going to put together a bunch of 14-play drives that either if they don't score a touchdown, Robbie Gould back in Miami, there's so many of the circles, life's a circle. And your Robbie Gould back in a Super Bowl in Miami will probably be very, very good kicking the field goals.
Dan, where are you going to watch the game someday?
I'm going to be here in Chicago. I got to go to Iowa, but I'll be back for the big game, and I can't wait. And, first and foremost, we all hope that somehow, some way, the Bears can find a way to put their season together next year and be competitive. But this is what the game of football is played for. It's for the opportunity to go and play in the great Super Bowl, and even though the Bears aren't in it, this is going to be one for the books. So I appreciate it. I've had a great time with you all here, and like I said, I'm going with the NFC, I'm going with the 49ers, but I would not be shocked if Patrick Mahomes throws for 500 yards and they have him as the MVP.
Well, I've been riding the Chiefs. I'm going to stay with them for this game. But it's almost... financial considerations aside, this is almost a game where I wouldn't be disappointed to see either of these teams as Super Bowl champions. I mean, some years you don't feel that way. There's a villain and a hero. But I like both these teams. They're fun to watch. They're good at the fundamentals. But I think the Chiefs win a close one.
Well, again, the Chiefs, they're playing against almost 50 years of history. They haven't been there.
Yep.
And the fact that Andy Reid, we all love him. If football was a church, Andy Reid would be the Pope. But, can he win one? Can he win the big game? I was in Jacksonville 14 years ago, whatever it was, when they kind of botched the game in the fourth quarter. He gets a reprieve. We'll see. We'll see if indeed Andy Reid becomes a Super Bowl champion. But if he doesn't, you got to tip your cap. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has taken the worst team in football 3 years ago to the very pinnacle of the sport. So, like I said, so many great storylines on both of these games. Both of these teams in this game. It'll be a joy to have three times the calorie consumption than I normally do on any given Sunday.
And I think Fox will be happy with the ratings on this one. It's Dan Hampton. Thanks, Dan. Enjoy the weekend. Have fun Sunday, and happy Friday to you.
Yes, thank you so much, and go Bears!
There you go, and we'll talk to Dean Richards, get some picks for movies to see this weekend and things to do around Chicago. That's coming right up here. Nothing like silence to get everybody's attention. Good morning. Wake up. It's 8:09. The thing I love about Friday is when you turn off the alarm clock, you're thinking, I will not have to hear this for a couple of days. We'll get to the entertainment report from Dean Richards momentarily. A couple of items that caught my eye. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira say their upcoming Super Bowl halftime show will pay homage to Latin culture, promising a joint performance that has an empowering message and also one that, quote, spreads love. That halftime show that everybody's talking about and they're rehearsing for, just 12 minutes. That's it. And did you hear about Jerry Seinfeld's book? He's been gathering material. He's working on his first book since the million-selling Sign Language came out more than 25 years ago. The currently untitled book, scheduled for a fall release. Seinfeld says, whenever I came up with a funny bit, whether it happened on a stage in a conversation or working it out on my preferred canvas, the big yellow legal pad, I kept it in one of those old-school accordion folders. Seinfeld says he has every piece of stand-up comedy he thought was worth saving from 45 years of, as he says, hacking away at this. Seinfeld with the new book, untitled, so far, coming out sometime this fall. And the big story in the entertainment world is Fred Silverman passing away yesterday at the age of 82. Dean Richards is with us from Los Angeles today. And Dean, as you know, Fred Silverman came up with popular shows for all three networks, but he started his career here in Chicago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He started as a tape editor at WGN-TV, and he was the guy that created what we're still running on WGN-TV from time to time, Family Classics, the great movie series that was on at different times. I think most people remember it best from its Sunday afternoon incarnation, first hosted by Frazier Thomas and then by Roy Leonard. And we have just recently brought it back and present special films from a couple of times a year. But he was instrumental in the creation of the Bozo Show on WGN. But Fred Silverman is just really one of the great television visionaries. He's the only guy that was a TV programmer at all three of the major television networks when that's all there was for people to choose from for television viewing. Be interesting to see what he would do in these days of online TV platforms now, and television has changed so much. But he was responsible for TV shows like All in the Family and Mary Tyler Moore and some of the true classic television shows. Just in reading through his credits, something that I learned yesterday was that he was responsible for the TV show Scooby-Doo. And the way that he came up with Scooby-Doo is that he was someplace and he heard the Frank Sinatra song, Strangers in the Night, which has, the refrain in it, Scooby-Doo-Bee-Doo-Bee-Doo-Bee-Doo-Bee-Doo. He heard
right.
And thought that would be an interesting name for the dog in the series. So thank Frank Silverman, thank Frank Sinatra, if you were a fan of Scooby-Doo.
You look at all the shows he was responsible for, all the hits, and the spinoffs too, Maude, the Jeffersons, Good Times, Mary Tyler Moore, Rhoda, Laverne and Shirley, The Bionic Woman, yeah. Roots, Charlie's Angels. And then he had a couple of flops, though, at NBC in the late 70s, Pink Lady and Hello Larry didn't quite make it, did they?
And Hello Larry and Super Train was also
his Super Train, right?
creation, which was a dud. He also always talked about how he regretted spinning off, not spinning off Rhoda from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but creating the storyline in which Rhoda got married on the show, because he said that he realized too late that the heart and soul of Rhoda was her dating life and her misfortunes in her dating life. And by marrying her off, he kind of neutralized the show a little bit. I kind of disagree with that. I always liked the TV show Rhoda, but he felt like that took some of the bite out of, one of the most popular characters ever on television. But, those are all the things that we know from Rhoda. I was going through some old things, I had saved a note that I received from Fred Silverman in 2005 when we first created the Bozo, Gar, and Ray WGN TV Classics special that now has been on for 15 years, in which we talk about Fred Silverman. We talk about the creation of Family Classics, how he and Frazier Thomas chose the films, and Frazier Thomas personally edited the films to make sure that they were appropriate for family viewing. But he sent me a really nice note, handwritten note, something that you don't see very often anymore, saying, you know, thank you for the memories of my time at Tribune Tower and at Bradley Place. And I'd even forgotten that I had it. But it's a nice memory. And, you know, classy thing to do. He didn't need to send anything, because we included him in our special.
Ah, that's nice. Fred Silverman, he passed away yesterday at the age of 82, 3 decades in network television, but he started right here in Chicago. Dean Richards is in Los Angeles, and we've got the story. Well, it's a feel-good from Ellen DeGeneres, right, Dean?
Yeah, this is a really nice story. There was a story that came out a few weeks ago in which a young man was told that he had to cut his dreadlocks or he would not get to walk at graduation time. And yesterday, both Ellen DeGeneres and Alicia Keys presented the young man, whose name is DeAndre Arnold, with checks for $20,000 apiece to go to his college education. Ellen on her show said that she was super proud of him for doing what you know is right. And she said, we want to do the right thing by helping you to continue your education. So, that's every once in a while we do get a nice story from celebrities.
Yeah, that was a feel good. I saw that. 50 Cent has an honor, and is it still true? Is this the way the Hollywood Walk of Fame works? You actually have to pay for that star?
You do. Yes. Would you like one?
No. I don't want to pay for anything.
While I'm out here, I can do the transaction for you. It's about $15,000. Normally it's paid for by movie studios or big companies to honor the celebrities that they represent. Usually it's because a star has a movie that's coming out and they want to get some extra publicity for it. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the rapper, actor, really kind of movie mogul, he's a big time TV producer now, 50 Cent, was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But the big surprise with this whole thing, 50 Cent's whole family was there. 25 Cent, 15 Cent.
Oh, good one.
5 Cent, his entire family was on hand. But the big surprise with this whole thing is that Eminem showed up for the event. He rarely makes appearances. There has been beef, as they say, in the rap world between some of these stars. And the fact that Eminem showed up to honor 50 Cent is a pretty big deal. Because I know when people want to hear hip-hop and rap news, they come to WGN first.
Mm-hmm. This is the place. Usually Orion Samuelson covers that, but occasionally we get into it here.
Right.
And how about the showbiz real estate news of the morning, Dean?
Oh, yes. A lot of people may have heard, on the side, when in my spare time, I am celebrity realtor to the stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do try to help them sell their property whenever possible. And yesterday, Lori Loughlin and her husband put their multi-million-dollar mansion on the market. Lori Loughlin, who may not need the mansion because she could be spending some time in prison for her involved in the college admission scandal, put their house up for sale, their mansion, $28.7 million, Bob, in case you're interested in just a nice cold weather getaway. It's 12,000 square feet, 6 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, swimming pool, outdoor courtyard, 2 living rooms, formal dining room, and an eat-in chef's kitchen.
Well, I want to save my money for the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Priorities.
Uh-huh. Leave us with a movie to either see or stay away from this weekend, Dean.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say stay away from this new Blake Lively movie that is opening today. It's called The Rhythm Section. It's kind of a suspense action movie, I guess you might say. Blake Lively plays a young woman who at one time was part of this beautiful, wonderful family. The movie starts off with just a collage of, you know, this family moments together, and you know, daughter and father and brothers and sisters, and just a lovely family. And in early in the movie, it's revealed that several of the family members were killed in an airplane explosion over the Atlantic Ocean. It's originally thought that it was a technical malfunction on the plane that caused the explosion. But again, very early on in the movie, this isn't a big spoiler, it's revealed that this may have been the result of terrorism that this happened. But in losing much of her family, this once wonderful, lovely, adjusted young woman devolves her life into a life of drug addiction and prostitution, and really is kind of a street person, really, and dependent on pimps, and just has you know, just fallen into this awful way of life. Until she is discovered by people who are working on this case of terrorism. And she reluctantly is drawn into this and is interested in trying to find out what happened to her parents, interested in getting revenge on who killed her parents and the other people on this plane at the same time. So, you know, that's sort of the premise of this movie. What doesn't make sense at all is how this person, who is just really has no skills and is really a street person, suddenly becomes a secret agent and is able to do things and pull things off and develop contacts in the underworld and the world of terrorism and espionage and intelligence without any explanation whatsoever. Much of the movie doesn't make sense. It's not, as an action movie, it's not even that effective. There are 100 other action movies, I think, that are produced better. It seems like they're trying to create this franchise for Blake Lively, but this one is hugely disappointing. Not surprising, most of the new movies that come out in January and February are, because this is Oscar season and people are going to see the Oscar-nominated movies. So The Rhythm Section, I'm giving a Dean's List D. It's really not very good. If you want to go see a movie over the next couple of weeks, the Academy Awards are a week from Sunday. Go see 1917. Go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ford versus Ferrari, Marriage Story, Little Women. There are so many other better movies out there right now to catch up on.
Did you say for Rhythm Section, a D as in dog? Is that it?
D as in dog is most appropriate. Yeah. Dog is the word.
All right. Dean Richards saw it, so we don't have to. Finally, Dean, our conversation yesterday generated this text from someone in the 219 area code. Tell Dean if he's going to build cinemas south of Chicago, we actually need something to replace the Holiday Star Theater. I'm getting tired of driving out to the Arcata in St. Charles to see live bands. So, Dean, instead of movie theaters, you may want to go with live venues.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's add that into the mix as well. I'm going to throw in some theaters to see plays and musicals and live stage performances as well. There's the theater at the center in Munster, but as far as Southside Theater, it just doesn't exist. It astounded Roy Leonard for years. I remember Roy talking about this forever. It has astounded me forever how the choices, South Side and South Suburban, Northwest Indiana, are virtually non-existent. It does not make any sense to me. Doesn't make sense.
You got your work cut out for you this weekend. Start raising the money. Yeah, I'm sure you
got it. I got
no
that
problem.
And getting Bob's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm going to be busy out here this weekend.
That's right.
I'm talking to Will Ferrell, by the way, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus today. So we'll bring those interviews back. We'll feature a lot of the interviews on Sunday morning.
We'll be listening. Thank you, Dean.
See you, Bob.
All right. Have a great one. And coming up here, we'll talk to Marianne. She'll check in. And Luke Kanellis with a Super Bowl report from Miami coming up. First, this report. Marianne Merciano has been talking to experts for years about subjects including health, wealth, and relationships. She's putting together a book eventually. And in the meantime, she's sharing some of those expert tips with us. Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, this one has science behind it, Bob. And so it's the end of January. And do you remember a month ago when you did your New Year's resolution?
I don't do it. I make a resolution not to make resolutions, but they're gone by the first week anyway for everybody.
Yeah. Well, by this time, the research shows that 40% of Americans set resolutions on January 1st, and only 8% make good on them by this time. So today is the 31st, and only 8% of people have stuck with those plans. So there is a huge problem with this. And then what happens is that you start feeling very unsuccessful because you didn't live up to this. So this is the science of how to achieve a goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, don't set a resolution. You set a goal. You know, make it a goal because a goal is really specific. And so what you need to do is keep it to one. Only one, because when you have more than one goal, then all your goals compete with each other for your time and for your attention. So you have to set one goal that is most urgent to you, maybe at the most two. Late last year, I set two goals, and it was really hard to keep up with both of them. And I think you set one goal, didn't you?
No, I did a couple. Less exercise, more sugar. I set goals, or I make resolutions I can keep.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so it's kind of like if you turn on your burners, like, turn one up, you have to turn the other three down so that you don't get confused and you can focus all your attention. Okay, that's the first thing. So you have to eliminate your goals. That's the number one tip that the experts are saying. But here's the science that's behind it. It's tip number two. Put it in writing and then do this thing that they call stacking your goals. So, of course, you put it into writing because that's the only way that you can implement a behavior. If you see it, research is showing that, like, if you write it down, you are 2 to 3 times more likely to follow through if it's a specific goal that you wrote down. For example, I'm going to start exercising vigorously on such and such a date, at such and such a time, at such and such a place. So people who write that down are 2 to 3 times more likely to follow through an exercise than a control group who did not make plans and they just said, I just want to exercise.
Okay, I got it. So, write it down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's
write
number
it down.
Two.
But, mm-hmm. Okay, but part of this is to link it, and that's what they call habit stacking. So, for example, you connect it to something that you're already doing. So if you want to meditate, for example, you can write down, after I make my coffee in the morning, I'm going to meditate for 1 minute. Or if you want to do push-ups, before I take my morning shower, I'm going to do 10 push-ups. I think you do this.
Yeah,
actually.
And that helps you. That helps you remember.
Mm-hmm. Helps you remember, and it helps you connect it to something that you're already doing. You want to floss your teeth. After I put my toothbrush down, I will floss my teeth. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be, you know, if you want to express gratitude in your life, before I eat dinner, I will say one thing I'm grateful for. Or after I return from my lunch break, I'm going to send one email to someone I want to meet.
Got it. Link it. Okay.
Link it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third tip is this is also backed by science and research, and it works, okay? You set an upper bound, okay? And what that means is that what you want to do is to achieve your goal, you want to be showing up. And what's going to keep you showing up is if you set a goal that doesn't seem like something that you can't sustain. So you set an upper bound instead of just a lower bound. So a lower bound is just saying, I want to lose 5 pounds this month. But setting an upper bound is, I want to lose at least 5 pounds this month, but not more than 10. Or if you're a writer, you might say, I want to write at least 500 words today. That could be not sustainable unless you put this upper bound on it, which says, I want to write at least 500 words today, but not more than 1,500.
So you need to be specific.
Well, it's specific, but also set yourself a limit that you're not going to go over a certain amount, because then it makes it more real. It makes it more sustainable, because, you know, if you're a writer and you're saying, I want to write at least 500 words today, you know, there's a part of me at least that says, but I'd love to write 3 chapters, but you can't really do that because that's too much.
Yeah. You gotta be realistic. So, yeah.
You gotta be realistic.
All
yeah.
right. I got
so,
it.
Those are the 3 science-backed tips for achieving your goal.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that in, because I don't want to be late, because then I get home late and my wife will kill me. So thank you very much, Marianne. And more available online somewhere on social media. Is that right?
Yeah. People can ask questions on Surratt and Marciano's Facebook page. That's a good place to do it.
Okay. Well, have a nice weekend, because if you do, I do.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
We have a pair of tickets to the Tinley Park Golf Show, February 7th through 9th at the Tinley Park Convention Center to give away. Stand by. I'll tell you how you can call in and get a pair right now. Browse aisles of newly released equipment and apparel from Chicagoland's top retailers. Get info at TinleyParkConventionCenter.com. And we'll take the first caller here who can give us those 3 goals Marianne mentioned, the 3 tips for keeping those New Year's resolutions next time. First person in with a reasonable facsimile to those 3 will get the tickets at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
Hope they haven't forgotten already.
Let's go to Miami. Meantime, and our pal Lou Canellis from Fox 32 covering the Super Bowl. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Bob. How are you? As I talk to you from News Cafe on 8th and Ocean Drive.
Yeah. Hey, good spot. Nice breakfast there. And are you going to the, any of the shows? I know tonight they've got, Lizzo and Harry Styles, DJ Khalid, Guns N' Roses. But I'm sure you're going to be too busy, as Dave Ennett would be if he were out there.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. Yeah. Lou knows that.
I would be hanging on Ennett's coattails trying to get into all these parties. That's for darn sure. Yes, I am going to hit some of those parties. Lizzo and Harry Styles, actually, they played last night for Sirius. But I had an agent tell me, guys, that her client is on 30 guest lists. So that's how many parties will be going on tonight and tomorrow here in South Beach.
And what's the big story for you out there? What will you be reporting on that we'll see later on Fox 32, Lou?
Well, you know, all week long, rarely do you get all these NFL football experts in one place at the same time. So I've made it a point to talk to everyone about the Bears. Are they closer to 4-12, or are they closer to being a playoff team? Can they win with Mitchell Trubisky? So we've been covering that story all week long. Tonight on the news at 9, we're going to have a chance to chat with Prince Amukamara at noon today. So I'll talk to Prince and also Tariq Cohen about what happened last year and the disappointing season that the Bears went through, not fulfilling the expectations we all had, because many of us thought that the Bears would be playing here in Miami. So we'll talk Bears heavy. You know, you get to hear from the Garoppolos and the Robbie Golds and the Patrick Mahomes all the time, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to cover the Bears story show, because I literally, honest to God, guys, I just saw a fan walking here on South Beach in a Mitchell Trubisky uniform.
Brave soul.
Someone asked, hey, is there going to be a, well, you asked me this morning, Bob, how many times they would mention Mitchell Trubisky during the Super Bowl telecast. I said, I doubt he will be mentioned.
Maybe not.
But if there's guys walking on South Beach wearing Trubisky jersey. So what's the consensus, Lou, as far as the people you've talked to down there? Are the Bears closer to 4-12 versus the high end?
All right. So the consensus is, Dave, that they're closer to getting back to the playoffs. They made changes with their coaching staff, which were much needed. And most of the guys I talked to still believe in Mitchell Trubisky. They think it's just, you know, I chatted with Kurt Warner yesterday. And he said, listen, man, I didn't win an MVP till I was 28. Yeah. So most of these guys, he said that, you know, everyone's opinion is skewed because you watch what Patrick Mahomes is doing 2 years into the league, winning an MVP, and everyone's like, well, how come Mitchell Trubisky isn't doing that? Because he was drafted second and, you know, Mahomes was drafted 10th. So many people feel that the Bears should still be patient, that they did themselves no favor with no running game, that they suffered a bad injury in Akeem Hicks, and many guys feel that they're closer to being a playoff team again, and don't give up on Mitch. Now, I had someone say to me, yeah, I hear that they're in the market to go get Cam Newton. Personally, I hope that's not the case. I don't think Cam is the right guy for that Bears locker room, because despite all the struggles last year, despite not fulfilling the expectations, I thought that Matt Nagy did a terrific job of keeping that team together through all the tough times, and I don't think that that can be overlooked, and I'm not sure Cam is the right guy for the Bears locker room.
Well, we'll see.
That's encouraging,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I think you take something from that. Is it pretty much, can you tell which way fans down there are leaning? Are there more Niners fans, more Chiefs fans?
Well, I can tell you that the media guys, so the Michael Irvins, Deion Sanders, Kurt Warners, Howie Lawrence, those guys, I mean, everyone I'm talking to is going with the Niners. They just feel that top to bottom, both sides of the football, they're just too darn good. And many guys use examples of what the 2011 Giants did to Tom Brady and the Patriots. The 2013 Seahawks just annihilated Peyton Manning and the Broncos in the Super Bowl. And many feel that if they were forced to make a pick, that's the way they'd go. They'd go San Francisco. Now, having said that, guys also say, listen, if Mahomes has a big game, this guy is going to be the greatest player of this generation. So we'll see. You know, I'm expecting it to be a high-scoring game. Deion Sanders called it bombs over Baghdad. He thinks that there could be 80 points scored in this game.
Hmm. Wow. Well, it'll be exciting. I think the ratings will be up for.
If that happens, Bob, you're not going to bed at 8:30.
No, there's no way. A lot of people know that despite being excellent at sports broadcasting, that's just a hobby now for Lou Kanellis. He actually is involved in the food business. Are there going to be any Super Bowl parties at Av Lee, Lou?
No Super Bowl party. Listen, we learned our lesson last year with Av Lee and Linkin Park that you can't, you know, most people actually have home parties. And we are, you know, we're pushing catering. So if you're having a party at home and you're thinking, gosh, what am I going to serve all my friends? Call Av Lee, we'll cater the event. No party at the restaurant.
All right. It's Lou Kanellis in Miami. We'll be watching for your reports, Lou. And have a good weekend. And thanks for checking in with us today.
Great talking to you guys. Game on Fox. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. Excited. And I'll be doing the final word from the field at about midnight after the Super Bowl. So exciting times. And here, I'll give you my prediction. Despite what everyone's saying, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game.
I'm with you, too. I think so, too.
And I predict I'll be asleep while Lou is doing that report at midnight.
Friends and family will be watching me that late. Thanks, guys.
I'll tape it. Yeah, thanks, Lou. Good talking to you, as always. Tammy from the South Side called in, and she knew what we were talking about a few minutes ago, so she gets the tickets to the Tinley Park Golf Show February 7 through 9 at the Tinley Park Convention Center.
I have an idea for you.
Yes?
Maybe Lou can cater you.
My house, just
at home,
me.
Just you.
Well, after that mention, I'd expect it. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. A little old business to take care of before we get out of here this morning. I will never hear the end of it, nor will I be admitted to the place ever again if I fail to include Marie's Pizza on Lawrence Avenue, one of my favorites. We ran down the list of cult pizza favorites, neighborhood joints. Christopher Borelli wrote it in a tribute, and then we added to it. And I need to get the Marie's mention in there. Okay, now I've done that. Hey, Super Bowl fever may strike you. Did you hear about this? It's expected to result in 17.5 million employees missing work on Monday. According to a survey by the Workforce Institute, it's the largest amount ever since the Institute began tracking this about 15 years ago. An estimated 11.1 million workers plan to use pre-approved time to stay home on Super Bowl Monday, while 4.7 million plan to call out sick even though they're not ill.
There's your out.
Whatever you do, don't say you have coronavirus either.
No, I wouldn't, Steve. John Williams is at work. How you doing, John?
Friday, and that means our Bright Side of Life will close the show, so I don't know what you're doing right now, but please be with us at 11:45, and we'll put a smile on your face. The Bright Side works that way every single time. Chief of Police for Aurora is going to be in our studio. A year ago, there was a tragedy in her town. She's going to be at the State of the Union address, as I understand it. So she's got some stories to tell. We'll catch up with her and some more Super Bowl chatter. We'll preview some of the funniest commercials coming up.
You may want to make the bright side even brighter looking out the window here.
Kind of cloudy, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. All right, John, have a good show. And I hope you have yourself a really great weekend. Thanks for being with us here, and we will talk to you Monday.